Thanks, Sue. It's been really easy this morning just to come up with a word, you know, a normal kind of preached word, and I have got a few things going through my mind, but there'll be other times for those things, because as I was thinking about what I would bring today for you all, you know that some of us have been going through, all the leadership and the trustees have been going through the 40 days of prayer using the Circle book, and I felt like actually I want to somehow convey some of what we're doing at the moment to excite you and to get you on board with what we're doing, because otherwise it could be that we're just doing this thing over here and it's all great and we could be seen to be in a bit of a holy bubble and having a great time and all the rest of it. But I think, you know, as we're sort of halfway through that journey now, and we did have a Bon Jovi moment, didn't we, between us? We're halfway there, living on a prayer. It was a special moment. So I just want to be able to do that this morning. And actually, just Sue mentioned the social media side of things there. So we do take time to put those things on there. And if you are on social media, and I know sometimes you might look at something and you don't have to like everything, but actually for some of the things we do, it would be really helpful if you did like it, because it just gives us an idea that the content is hitting the mark, that people are seeing it, that it's relevant, all of that stuff. So yeah, please give us a few more likes and share it around as well. I mean, the Instagram page is really interesting, because actually the majority of the people that follow us on Instagram actually aren't in this room. They're outside of ourselves, which is great, isn't it? Because we want to share the good stuff we're doing. So I just would encourage you to do that. Otherwise, I'm just sort of doing stuff into the abyss. So in terms of prayer, it's really interesting this week. Again, somebody that I follow on Twitter this week put a bit of a shout out this week and said, what are the really, really good things out there at the moment that I can focus on in terms of getting to grips with prayer a bit more in my life? And interestingly, I mean, top of that list was anything written by Pete Gregg, the guy that runs 24/7 prayer. And if you haven't read any of his stuff or listened to his stuff, then do listen to it. In particular, the talk that he did at Woody's is kind of out there, and he's done it in a variety of other different churches. Do listen to that. So again, it's really, really important at the moment as a church, as we're entering into finding out what God wants for us in the new season, is to kind of listen to some of these guys that, know how to do this stuff. And then the other person that was mentioned was the chap that wrote the book that we're going through, the Draw the Circle book. So he is seen as being kind of a kind of leading light in the Christian world in terms of prayer, which is really good news for us, isn't it? Because that just sort of helps us to go, yeah, actually, this is a good thing we're doing. And one of the things that has sort of struck me as we've been going through this is we are not going to be the same again after going on this journey. Every day we are changing, and I'm learning more and more what it is like to become a new creation. That journey of a new creation is never ending, and we are just learning so much. Most days Sue and I go, we can't go back to how it was, which I think is what God wants, because if he's wanting to draw us into the new season, we can't be again. And actually in the book this week it says, if you want God to do something new in your life, you cannot keep doing the same old thing. You need to do something different. So for us on this journey, we've never done this as a leadership before. You know, spent 40 days continuously praying, reading, going through some stuff together, where we're seeking God wholeheartedly for what the next thing is. And we haven't got, I don't think we've got any major answers to what that is, but actually what we know is deep down in ourselves is that God's doing something with us, which I think is really important, because he probably needs to do some stuff with us before he can then reveal his plan for this church. And I've had to avoid myself doing the thing that I do where I'll read and I'll go, oh, practically, what does that look like? Oh, it could be this, it could be that. And I've got a long list of things that probably we might do at the end of it. But actually what I've really just got to focus on is being in the presence of God and seeking his heart and just learning more about him for myself. And interestingly with the book as well, none of it is like, I mean, some of it is big wow moments and there's some statements in there and it's really great. But actually the things that God's showing us through the book are not unfamiliar things. So the Bible stories that are being referenced are things that we've had teaching on. So there's a lot about Joshua in there. There's been some stuff on Abraham. I think Gideon was mentioned one time. So it's just almost a bit of a reinforcing some of the things we've heard as we've been on a journey since Richard took over the leadership of the church. But it almost like feels like we're in a bit of a now moment where God is going to use what we've learned over the last 3-4 years to bring something to pass. And it's just great. And what I would like to do today, just so you can just get a sense of what some of these readings feel like, so you can just visualise a bit more, is I'm just going to read one of the ones which I think is quite impactful, because it does refer to the Joshua story that we've been reflecting on, and we've heard time and time again, just so you can capture what it is that the leadership, the trustees, and some of the prayer team are going through at the moment. And then it would probably be really good just in your tables just to say, oh, okay, that's really interesting. What does that mean? Actually, I've really felt this, because whilst we're going on this journey together, as a team, if you like, actually, we're really hopeful that you're joining us at this time and have got something to add into it as well, so that it isn't just us that journey. Does that make sense? Yeah? Yeah. Right, so I am going to read. It's fairly short, so it won't take too long, but I just wanted you to capture what this book, Draw the Circle, is all about. So this was day 21, and it was entitled Set Your Foot. And the scripture it started with was, I'm giving you every square inch of the land that you set your foot on. And that's from Joshua 1 and verse 3 message. So here we go. Since the release of the Circle Maker, I've received a steady stream of emails and letters from readers who have started circling their dreams, homes and workplaces in prayer. And what this circling thing is basically the thing you're praying about, you put it in a circle and you don't break that circle until the thing is answered. So that's when he's talking about circling, you know, and you could do that with anything in your life, your family, your job, any of these things. You can put it in a prayer circle and pray about it. And then when you've got the resolution, it's not time bound or anything like that. Who started circling their dreams, homes and workplaces in prayer. An inner city teacher circles her classroom. A real estate agent pray circles around the properties she represents. A team of doctors and nurses have turned their patient rounds into prayer circles. Several members of Congress are circling the Capitol. This author has got his church and his ministry is based in Washington, D.C., so he sort of operates in that political environment. And quite a few chaplains and coaches are circling NFL fields, MLB fields, and NBA courts. One reader even circled his bank praying for a financial miracle until the law enforcement intervened. They thought he was casing the joint. There is nothing magical about physically circling something in prayer, but there is something very biblical about it. The Israelites circled the city of Jericho until the wall came down. That's what a 40-day challenge is all about. Too often we quit circling almost as soon as we start. And I think our heart is, and I'm probably right in saying this, is that this won't stop at the end of the 40 days because somehow we've done an initiative and that's it, we've reached the goal. We might have done part of it. It's actually this journey, I think, it's probably a lifetime journey of prayer as we continue. And that's the big thing for us, is actually, you know, we know we're shifting up a gear in this area. Drawing prayer circles is a metaphor that simply means praying until God answers. It's a determination to pray as long as it takes, even if it takes longer than you ever imagined. Drawing prayer circles isn't some magic trick to get what you want from God. God is not a genie in a bottle, and your wish is not his command. His command better be your wish. If it's not, you wouldn't be drawing prayer circles. You'll end up walking in circles. Drawing prayer circles starts with discerning what God wants and what God wills. And until his sovereign will becomes your sanctified wish, your prayer life will be unplugged from its power supply. And getting what you want isn't the goal. The goal is glorifying God by drawing circles around the promises, miracles, and dreams he wants for you. Over the years, I've drawn prayer circles around promises in Scripture and promises the Holy Spirit has conceived in my spirit. I've drawn prayer circles around impossible situations and impossible people. I've drawn prayer circles around everything from life goals to a piece of property. But let me go back to my first prayer circle and retrace my steps. When I was a 22-year-old seminary student, I tried to plant a church on the North Shore of Chicago, but that plant never took root. 6 months later, fresh off a failed church plant, Laura and I moved from Chicago to Washington, D.C. The opportunity to attempt another church plant presented itself, and my knee-jerk reaction was to say no, but God gave me the courage to face my fears and swallow my pride and try again. There was nothing easy about our first year of church planting. Our total church income was $2,000 a month, and $1,600 of that went on rent to the DC public school cafeteria where we held our Sunday services. On a good Sunday, 25 people showed up, and that's when I learned to close my eyes in worship because it was too depressing to open them. I felt underqualified and overwhelmed, which put me right where God wanted me. It is how we learn to live in raw dependence, and raw dependence is the raw material out of which God performs his greatest miracles. One day, as I was dreaming about the church God wanted to establish on Capitol Hill, I felt prompted by the Holy Spirit to do a prayer walk. I often paced and prayed in the spare bedroom in our house, and that doubled as a church office. But this prompting was different. I was reading through the book of Joshua at the time, and one of the promises jumped off the page into my spirit. I'm giving you every square inch of the land you set your foot on, just as I promised Moses. And I think this is true for us at the moment, and we have to really step out in faith that the land, whatever that looks like for us, God is going to give it to us. We just need to put our bit of the bargain in and, you know, have some effort into this. But he will give it to us because he's promised it to us. Even though we might not be able to envisage what that might be, he will give it to us. As I read this promise given to Joshua, I felt that God wanted me to stake a claim in the land. He had called us to pray a perimeter all of the way around Capitol Hill. I had a honey-like confidence, just as this promise had been transferred from Moses to Joshua. God would transfer the promise to me if I had enough faith to circle it. So one hot and humid August morning, I drew my first prayer circle. It still ranks as one of the longest prayer walk I've ever done and the biggest prayer circle I've ever drawn. Starting at the front door of our row house on Capitol Hill, I walked east on F Street and then turned south on 8th Street. I crossed East Capitol, the street that bisects the northeast and southeast quadrants of the city, and turned west on M Street, southeast. I then completed the circle, which was actually more of a square, by heading north on South Capitol Street. I paused to pray in front of the Capitol building for a few minutes. Then I completed the 4.7-mile circle by taking a right turn at Union Station and heading home. The prayer circle had taken nearly 3 hours to complete because my prayer pace is slower than my normal pace, but God has been answering that three-hour prayer for the past 15 years. Since the day I drew that prayer circle around Capitol Hill, National Community Church has grown into one church with 8 campuses around the metro DC area. And all of the 6 properties we have miraculously purchased, Ebenezer's Coffee House, the Miracle Theatre on Barracks Row, and the $29 million castle on Capitol Hill are right on that circle. Coincidence? More like providence. When the Israelites circled Jericho, they had no idea God would give them the city. But they didn't let what they didn't know keep them from obeying the command they had been given. So they circled the promise over and over again. They circled the promise 13 times over 7 days. Why? Because even though they didn't know how God would deliver the promise, they knew God would come through somehow, some way. And God didn't just show up. God showed off his power. He toppled the wall of Jericho like it was a game of Jenga. And then there's just a little reminder, actually, at the end of this day he's reading that says, God is not a genie in a bottle and your wish is not his command, but his command better be your wish. And I think this day in particular just speaks of what we are sort of walking at the moment, and we know that there is land to be taken, and we know that we need to draw a circle around that, and whatever that looks like. And It's just really, really exciting. And we just really, I suppose, our prayer for the church is that you will capture this and support us as we continue to do this. We've got, what, how many days to go in terms of the first 40 days? 13? Something like that? Are we 13, 12? But it's really, it is really exciting. And again, a number of people that are going through this book at the moment are here and will be able to share their heart as we spend some time just talking about what this might mean and what you've heard there. Because we want, you know, we want this to be a corporate thing. It's not just about the leadership at this time. So I hope that encourages you. And again, some people aren't reading the book. Dave's got it on audio. He doesn't read books, so he's gone and got it on audio. But it kind of doesn't matter, does it? He's, you know, still on the journey with us. And so I just hope. Encourages you. Sue, I don't know whether you've got anything you want to add to that before we take a few minutes to have a chat.
Yes, and I think that's brilliant, Nikki. Thank you for sharing that with us. And some of you may feel, oh, I don't quite get this circle-making stuff. What it basically is it's just prayer determined. It's determined prayer, which says, actually, I'm not going to let this go until I see what God is going to do. And Nikki's right. We haven't got all the answers. We haven't got any of the answers yet. But God is changing us through this. And if you're excited by this, no reason why you can't get the book and start reading it. And I think as a leadership team, we will be meeting together to see what is the next stage. How can we get the church on board as well? How can we do this as a corporate body? So it's like we're trialing it at the moment, but what we're saying is we're excited, it's having an impact. And I suppose what I'd like us to think about over the next few minutes, just together, just have a chat, and just think how what Nikki said may be impacting your life. What are the things that you would put in a circle that you would want God to change? What approach would you take that you're saying, right, God, that's the promise you've given, I'm going to put it in the circle. And I want to see you outwork that, okay? How can I do that? Just have a few minutes now on your tables to do that, and then we'll come back. And Kim will bring some notices, and I'll end in prayer.